Well, you know, when you hear Jamel talk about that, you know, it's such an interesting world we're living in when it comes to sports journalism in 2017. For Jamel, and when it comes to big personalities on ESPN, I mean, opinion is driving a lot of the conversation, right? ESPN has been known and has been praised by many on-air personalities, you know, from the past. And when you hear those personalities talk about how they've been allowed to be themselves on the air, allowed to push the envelope, allowed to be a big voice, big, brash, and honest at the same time. But when you look at the situation now with Jamel, I mean, this is a bit different because it deals with politics. And we all know, living in 2017, it is a very touchy topic here, especially with the election of our president, Donald Trump. But when you come out and say something like this, I think you have to be mindful that, hey, you are a personality, you're a public figure, and anything that you say on social media is going to be scrutinized. So I'm kind of conflicted on it, to be honest. But Graham, for you, because I'm always mindful, whatever I put out on Twitter, I know that I'm not just representing Al Martin. I'm representing WKAR. Mm-hmm. So it's a very touchy topic. It really is.
It is. And I know the Donald Trump situation is touchy for a lot of people. I have a friend who teaches civics and government over at Grand Ledge High School. And this election and this president has been different than anything he's dealt with before, because he's always been careful, you know, when you've had you know, Mitt Romney or John McCain or whatever. It's different than that, right? And at a certain point, he told me, you can't insult these kids. You have to call a spade a spade. And so he's dealt with that and figured out how he was going to approach it. And I think it's hard for, because we do have a divided country politically, but Trump is a little different. He's on one edge of that divide and has an audience. And the fact that he has such a large audience, I think to some people is pretty scary. But you have to call a spade a spade. I mean, if you can look at his behavior over the last month and argue what she said is absolutely correct, but she also works for somebody. And she is paid a lot of money to represent the entire company on a huge platform at 6 p.m. So she's got to understand what that is. You can't just have your own – I mean, Twitter is an extension of everything. Twitter is part of your brand. It's not something you get to do on the side, and it doesn't – there's no repercussions for it, as our president is figuring out, right? So,
well, Graham, if I could interrupt you for 1 second, I would say this, that – as far as Jamel, I think the rules have changed, guys. I think the way that we used to do things is no longer there, because now, you know, people used to be more diplomatic about it. You actually cared about how other people felt about it, and if you crossed the line, you apologized. Nobody apologizes for anything nowadays, and I think Jamel has kind of gotten ahead of the curve and said, you know what, this is how things are. This is how this one side, you know, talks, so I'm gonna come at you in the same way that you come at me, and I'm gonna say things that you may not agree with, but I'm gonna say it in the exact same way that you do it. And, you know, she took a lot of heat for it, because I think the majority of people are still in shock and awe, like, oh my goodness, how could she say that type of thing? But, you know, and Al, I get what you're saying. You're always representing somebody, but as I often said, if I put on big floppy shoes and a big red nose and a wig and overall suspenders and squirt spritzer water on people and folks come up to me and call me a clown, I can't get offended by that. I can't be upset about that. And I think that's what Jamel did.
And I like that she did not apologize for what she said.
Right.
She
right.
did not take back what she said, because she believes what she said. I thought it was a smart and diplomatic way of getting yourself, making sure you do what your corporation wants to do without, while sticking up for what you believe and what you say. Because I truly believe she is somebody who is careful in her thoughts. I mean, when you talk about somebody whose job is, and now that she's on the 6, which is the 6 p.m. Sports Center, it's not as much opinion as it was when she was, when it was the His and Hers show. But it is still a job that is, I mean, based on opinion, you're doing opinions all the time, right? And I think she is, and she's somebody who's come over to politics and been very anti-stick to sports and all that stuff, and you know, letting herself out there a lot. And so she is a very careful, calculated person in what she says. And when she got to this point, I don't think she just irrationally fired off what she was thinking in that moment. I guarantee she thought about it for a minute. She knew there might be some repercussions. She wanted to put it out there, and I give her credit for that. There are always consequences to things when you work for corporate America, but I give her some props. And what I love, too, is I was a little worried because sometimes you see the overreaction from corporations and firing people for things that I think aren't. I don't think she did all that. I don't think she did anything wrong. Mm. And I think the response by a lot of people kind of guaranteed that she was safe. Because I think the backlash, if they had done anything to get rid of her, would have been far worse.
Yeah, and even some of her colleagues. I saw Michael Wilbon voicing his support of Jemele Hill. I mean, and you look at, you know, just the entire spectrum of it. I mean, you got celebrities chiming in on this. I mean, Gabrielle Union, you had Colin Kaepernick voicing his support of Jemele Hill. So, and to piggyback off what you had to say, Graham, concerning how she, you know, when she came out and issued, you know, that statement via Twitter on Wednesday night, basically coming out and saying, you know what, I stand behind what I said. I just regret that, you know, it painted ESPN in that kind of light. You know what I mean? But I still stand behind what I said. I think, you know, she's sticking to her guns in making this statement, Reg.
Let me ask all of you, what are your followers and audience members saying to you about it?
You know, I have not. I've been dealing with a couple other things this week and haven't really delved into it a ton. I know what they, I mean, I know I have a split audience because I do, I am somebody who does not stick to sports and delves into it from time to time and did on election night and did a few times after. And I'm careful for that because I understand, and this is what Jemele has to understand too, and she does, that the reason you have so many followers, the reason you have this platform is who you work for that gives you this thing. So, you know, and they follow you for a certain reason. That doesn't mean you can't be true to yourself and have a dialogue and that you're more than sports. People understand 95% what they get from me is going to be what they sign up for. But I know I offend, every time I make a comment about Donald Trump or politics, I lose followers. And I know that's going to happen. I'm okay with it. And so that's just, you know, you have a split audience. You know, some people either don't want to hear that or really don't agree with you. And I hear that all the time. And then a lot of people do. And then sometimes you gain them. When the Trayvon Martin thing happened, I was really, really outspoken. And I gained a lot of followers. And then I was like, well, how do I keep my Trayvon Martin followers? You know, they don't want to read about Big Ten football. Shoot. Right. So, and Graham, eventually you lose them.
I was going to say, I'm kind of like you where it's people are split. And it's 50-50. People want to compartmentalize America. And the stick to sports people say, hey, just give me sports because I don't want to get into politics. Because once you bring up certain names, it just gets ugly. It just does. And the sad reality is it's not going away anytime soon. So America, unfortunately, guys, I don't see things getting better. I see them getting worse before they get better. And if you bring it up, it forces people to have to address it. And what you normally get is, you know, a lot of fringe people on both sides, but it's the people in the middle who it makes them feel uncomfortable. And I think that's why they like to tell us all just stick to sports, because they don't want to feel uncomfortable, because it forces them to have an opinion. It forces them to choose a side. It forces them to say what is right and what is wrong. They don't want to do that because they don't know who's watching. And it's almost as if they just kind of want to live in their house and keep things to themselves of how they truly feel about things. And when you have people who come out and say certain things, it kind of forces them into reality and forces them to actually come up with an opinion and defend that opinion. And knowing that, you know, people are going to disagree. And at that point, it's how far are you willing to die on this hill? How far are you willing to go with this argument? And with the racial situation going on now in America, it's a hot button topic, to say the least. So when you have somebody come out there, as Graham said, and I'm quite sure, Al, you experience the same thing. When you say something, you already know this is going to be a thread that's going to go on for days and days and days. It's going to get ugly. People who you thought one way are going to come out and say some pretty heinous things, and it's just going to be nothing but attacks. The sad reality is everybody's quick to attack. No one's ever quick to listen and maybe try to understand the other side.
Yeah, very true. And you know what? Listening to what you guys are saying, I've had numerous conversations with, you know, other individuals that I know in the business as well, who, you know, are on platforms such as Sports Talk Radio or are columnists as well, like yourself, Graham. And I think a lot of them struggle when you watch what has happened in the last even year, you know, extending beyond the election, and you watch certain things happen with Trayvon Martin, Philando Castile, you see the stand that Colin Kaepernick takes. I mean, for me, I know I've battled with myself, you know, when I get behind the radio after a day of watching that stuff on CNN, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, how do I go about addressing this? Because this is obviously, you know, had an emotion on me. I'm emotional about it. And I can't ignore it. So do I address it? And I kind of go through this thing like saying, okay, if I do address it, if I'm honest and I put it out there, I know what's going to happen, right? You're going to have people out there that agree with my point of view and some that are not going to agree. But I think what a lot of journalists do, like myself, is you kind of have this internal battle like, okay, am I willing to put myself out there? Am I willing to be courageous and be honest with myself? Because I know for me that if I'm not, I'm going to bed or after 2 p.m. regretting that.
No, I agree with that. And I think one of the things we also can sometimes make a mistake, because it is a really divided country. So people think you're either one way or the other. And I believe that a lot of people, a lot of this world has opinions that are all over the place. And it's strange that we've got this situation where you're either one thing or another. And I think one of the things I try to do and probably don't do enough, and one thing that leads to what happened to Jamel is, like, I think when you look at Democratic politics, even locally, and I think the Democrats handle things poorly all the time. But if you don't ever criticize that, you look like you're just hammering one side, and then people think you're one thing. And it's important, I think, if you're going to choose not to stick to sports, to be willing to be out there on a lot of stuff and on everything and criticize, even if you're affiliated with one party, your own side of things once in a while, because that makes you real, that makes you impartial, that doesn't make you just a liberal thinker, a conservative thinker, all that sort of stuff. And I've got friends who are teachers who have major issues with teachers' unions, you know, and that sort of stuff. That stuff where you're not just one thing, you know, and because I don't believe most people are one thing. The problem is when on Twitter, when all we do is, and again, this is an issue that's on the extreme, so I understand why Jamil and a lot of other people are speaking out it. But the people who only see you occasionally and they only see you on Twitter, they think, well, of course she thought that way. Well, okay, she says this, she thinks this, she's against me. And, you know, again, Trump has made this different. Trump has made this different than any other situation before, right? Because what's really scary now is the fact that he still has 35% support means what about 35% of our country? And that's what I think is getting scary for people.
I mean, I just want to ask, are the rules any different because you also have a president who has said different things, whether in the campaign trail or on Twitter himself? He has, in some people's minds, crossed a line in some of the things that you've probably never heard a president of the United States say. Does that make the rules any different?
You know what, Reggie? I think it does make the rules different because of that, because you have a president who's bold enough to come out and say whatever it is he wants to say. He doesn't backtrack. He doesn't apologize. He'll, you know, attack people. He'll attack individuals. He'll attack anything that he wants. And the people behind him say, well, if our president can do that, then why can't we do that too? And he is not facing any repercussions. We shouldn't face any repercussions either. And if you stand up to them, then, you know, that's where, you know, that's when you start seeing the protesters of the protesting people going at each other and fighting, like what you saw in Charlottesville. It is changed because you have a president that, I hate to say, is not really presidential. He's kind of a regular guy who has a Twitter account, a social media account, and he's just saying whatever it is that he wants to say. And you look at all the other past presidents, the other, 44 presidents, you probably would never have seen anybody react this way. And I think that's what, you know, as Graham, I think, said, the 35% of the people who support him are saying, well, if he can do it, then I can do it, and there should be no repercussions because I'm just saying what the president does. So it has changed things. Whereas before, you would have, you know, presidents say, hey, I don't support this group of people. Hey, I'm not down with these people. They may have voted for me, but that's not my way of thinking. Whereas instead, he just kind of shrugs his shoulders and says, you know what? I won, and I did it by any means necessary.
Yeah, it's kind of the same conversation that we had, you know, when Charlottesville happened. You heard this dialogue about white supremacist groups across this nation that felt comfortable now in coming out and holding their own forums and holding their own protests because they have a president that in many ways has allowed it to be okay, based on his ideas and what he said throughout his campaign and throughout the preliminary stages of his presidency.
No, I totally agree with that. I mean, what he said was sort of, I mean, it set a precedent that's scary because any one of the things if any other president or presidential candidate had said them, would have been sort of the death knell in their campaign. When you say enough outlandish and outrageous stuff, it's like, you know, it's like walking on a bed of needles, right? It's none of them poke through because it's just so out there. And it is the pausing, it's the hesitating, you know, to really disavow, to really go after a group that speaks for hate. It's that hesitation, because once you hesitate a moment, that's all they need. They know what you think,
mm-hmm.
and then you can say whatever you want later that saves your hide. But that's not really enough for them. And to me, again, you can call a spade a spade, and Jamel did that, and more power to there. I understand that ESPN. You know, we deal with this even in you know, at the Lansing State Journal, there are two of us who are allowed to say whatever we want pretty much to an extent on Twitter, myself and Judy Putnam, the two columnists, right? And we've had conversations with how to handle Donald Trump, because sometimes you feel irresponsible if you're not handling things a certain way. But you also have to look at your own biases, and are you going too far with them on certain things? And I think we see there's a new site, Land of 10, which is affiliated with the, you know, SEC country. And I know writers there who have gone into topics that, not that they were commenting on him, but dealt with anything politically with a player or anything like that, they've been shut down on those stories because they don't want to split their audience. Corporations are worried about their audience. And so, again, we choose to work for them. And so you have to respect that if you want to continue to work for them. And that's what Jamel's dealing with right now. I love the way she handled it. Didn't love ESPN's response necessarily.
And that's the question I want to ask yourself, Graham, and Rico. I mean, you saw their response, and they basically said, hey, look, we had a talking to with Jamel, and we apologize, right? Should they have stood by her?
Oh, yeah. Because otherwise you're standing by, to me, would you stand, to me right now, to not stand by that statement is to ignore a lot of what's going on. And that's one of your people, too. You know, Jamel.
Yeah, Graham, I think what you saw with ESPN was, see, you're thinking like an individual. You're thinking like a person. You got to think like a business. And to ESPN, you know what? White supremacists watch us, too. They buy the things that are on our show. So we don't want to isolate everybody. We want to be as noncommittal with this apology as we can so that we're not throwing her under the bus, but we're not also not endorsing her. We're just kind of lukewarm. We're saying something, and it's a Rorschach test. You'll see what you want out of this apology. If you want to see us reprimanding her, there are some that say, look, ESPN cracked down on Jamel. And the others will see it and say, see, ESPN supported her. They went out there and put it as lukewarm as they could, knowing, hey, both sides watches our channels and our programming. We don't want to lose customers. And I think that's the route that ESPN went.
Well, you know, one of the things, I mean, even today, there's stuff about the White House won't commit to signing a joint congressional resolution condemning white supremacists, you know, and so you get Jamel Hill saying Donald Trump's a white supremacist and ESPN saying we don't agree, you know, I mean, that's essentially ESPN's statement. I didn't think was, you know, if I were ESPN, I would have said, I understand your corporation. I would have said some of the events are a little troubling. We stand by Jamel. You know, we've talked to her about how we want her to use certain platforms that she works for. I would have said it a little differently, even as a corporation.
Provide more context, right?
Yeah, I would have just been because I think they could have gotten away with, and understanding as Rico was talking about, their interests. But
you got to remember, ESPN is they're a subsidy of Disney.
Yep.
Everybody mm-hmm. goes to Disney World. The mouse wants to get everybody's money.
Yep.
The mouse is powerful. Well, so therefore, you don't isolate anybody.